Hey, wow, we clocked the recorder.
Oh, geez.
It's gone around to zero.
This is good news, everybody.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah, I'm back.
Episode 5. Bigger, longer, and uncut. With Morgan and Ben.
We are back, Ben.
We're back, and we're bad.
Episode 5.
Welcome back to Two Fat Bastards with Microphones.
I'm not a bastard. My parents were married. I think your parents were married as well, probably.
This is true.
I shouldn't assume that. You might be proud of being a bastard.
We have an interesting show this week.
Of course we have an interesting show. We always have an interesting show.
We will have an in-studio guest.
Said, what did you say? Multiple what?
Multiple reasons.
Oh, multiple reasons.
Yeah, we will have an in-studio guest, which is a revolution in the Discourse studio.
When have we ever had... How could we even possibly have an in-studio guest?
We don't even have a third mic.
Except that we have a purpose-built broadcasting studio with places for multiple studio guests.
And talking to...
I was talking to Dylan Reeve about... Yes. About his social video project. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'd quite like to get cracking on that.
Okay, let's do that.
We've got a guest on Discourse.
Dylan Reeve is a film and TV editor and video production geek. He writes at dylanreeve.com. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's raining where he is.
Yeah, that's new, eh?
Is it raining?
No, but I heard that too. So I think it's just
I think
the
I just pumped the level too high, so yeah. I'll fix that right now.
I think it was a Ben-related problem. We have a lot of Ben-related problems.
I'm not an audio engineer.
So a couple of months ago, you started a project called A Social Video, which doesn't mean video which doesn't like other people.
Yeah, that's how I read it.
Yeah, not asocial, no.
Antisocial video, at asocial video. On Twitter and asocialvideo.com. And the idea here, well, I suppose you can tell us what the idea is.
What was the premise behind it, Dylan?
Well, let's see. In my job as a world-leading television editor, I happened to have the opportunity to cut together sort of an impromptu music video on a story that I was working on. And I thought, it sort of reminded me that I've wanted to make a music video for ages, and it's one of those things that you just get pushed back and back, and you never really get around to it because it costs money and it's a pain in the ass, and you have to ask a lot of favours, and you know, then you have to have a band, and there's record companies, and there's all that crap that's involved, and it's a pain in the ass, and no one wants to do it, except it's kind of fun.
Isn't that only if you do it the old-fashioned way?
What's that?
Isn't that following the kind of the conventional big media approach to making a big video? And lots of people don't do it that way.
In New Zealand, there is no big media approach to making a music video. There's a $5,000 NZ on Air grant, which doesn't really cover the cost of making a music video, and then some people make independent ones, but we don't really have a big record. You know, there's no Spike Jones in this country or anything crazy like
all
that.
All the bling in the cars then and the ladies.
New Zealand musicians.
Yeah.
That's reality television is where you get that stuff. It's,
okay, right.
Put some people on an island and you get a blinging car. But, no, so I came up with the idea, I thought, well, I'll use Twitter, because, you know, I'm on Twitter, and I talk to people on Twitter, and I'll say, help me make a music video, and not just Twitter, also social media, so Facebook, and that MySpace, what's it thingy that people used to like.
Yep. My MySpace profile is so awesome.
I hate none. MySpace.
Anyway. So, yeah, the idea was get an artist, get them to give me a song, get them to suggest some songs they'd like to make music videos for. Narrow it down with some help from people from the internet, and then pick an artist, and then say to the internet, help me make a music video, I need these things, let's get this done, and sort of set some time frames.
Yep.
Which we've all passed, all of them have been passed now.
So how did it go? So
this is the whooshing sound of a deadline?
If you put those things on a list, you know, get a band, get a song, get some help, make a video, how many have you ticked off?
Well, I got some bands suggested and nominated, and then sort of narrowed it down to one in the end, after narrowing it down to I think four.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of got that far, because then we got to the next stage and said, okay, this is the band, tell us what you think, you know, tell us what you'd do for a music video, and got basically nothing.
I'll tell you what I think.
Quite a few different things.
Now the band chosen was, how do we pronounce this, Solshin?
Solshin or Solshin? I'm not entirely sure. I think it's Solshin. is probably how you're supposed to pronounce it.
And the song is Oxygen Thief. And I've got to tell you, I actually only listened to it for the first time today, believe it or not. I'm very sorry.
Because you ignored all my repeated Twitter pleas to listen to it and tell me what you thought.
Well, I did go to the site and see if there were any comments. And see if there's anything I could snack
at. I retweeted a couple of times, I think.
I retweeted as well without listening to it. I listened to it today and it fucking rocks.
Mm.
It's a really great track. It reminds me a bit of a slightly less funky supergroup. Like not so much of the
vibe
brass.
I got too.
Less brass in there.
Yeah.
Similar feel and kind of the chorus things that are going on, and they're really kind of just rocking music.
Yeah, and the reason, I mean, the interesting thing that happened is the people that that nominated themselves or were nominated were all actually really good. There was one guy who didn't have the professional recording that the other guys had. Like a lot of them have, you know, spent their own money on some studio time and things, but he seemed to have a really good skill. So I put him up there as well, but in the end, you know, without...
You've got to have a good recording to make a video.
Yes, you got to have good quality.
Yeah, without thinking that I had studio time available to actually get a good quality recording to start with, that wasn't going to happen. But they were all of a really high caliber, and in fact, it was quite a tight choice, and I went with this one in the end because I could see a much better concept for a video in this song than I could in anything else. So that was basically why I went with it. It's funky. It drew my attention into it to craft something.
Right. And so you got no or very little feedback and very little help, and is this why your deadline's delayed? Or
it basically died. So what it's become now? I mean,
I know what you need.
The problem is, I had this
need
idea.
Me to
you
fix
know,
the
that,
whole damn project
and,
for you.
And
that's what you need.
Well, I had this idea that it'd pick up and everyone would be into it, and you know, yay, and I'd get heaps of followers, and it'd be no problem, and there'd be heaps of momentum, and that didn't quite happen. I got a reasonable number of followers to start with, and then the momentum just died right off, and I couldn't. I just was unable to restart it.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you the first mistake you made.
The internet.
No, the internet was not the first mistake you made. The first mistake you made was stopping using the internet for production. I think that it was a great idea to get bands, and you got bands. You got several really good bands, and you chose a really great track. And the problem has come with trying to find. I think you got a location. You probably got some crew, and you got a shooting weekend, and you wanted to go and do it on site. On this location in a conventional style. That doesn't feel like a social media video to me. I think I'd like you to watch maybe later. It's a Japanese band called, well, we're going to call them Sour. Or maybe the video is called Sour. Who can read this stuff? The video is called Hibi no Nero. And it uses fans of the band in different locations around the world using their webcams, and it's all tied together into a big matrix. I'll put it in the show notes.
They're singing along or whatever.
And they sing along. And it is fucking awesome. It's got 3.2 million views on YouTube, and it is ace as shit.
Yeah.
And that would have been a more kind of social video where you have to be socially involved in the production to actually even make the thing. It would require unbelievable planning, though.
Yeah, the funny thing is, that having listened to the song, now I don't know why I didn't listen to it before, but if more people listen to the song, I think more people would be into it because it is a like a rocky, upbeat song, and it sounds fun. And
it's a great song.
People want to make a video for that. So I'm not sure how you get people to listen to it.
Well, that was the tricky thing, and I think if they had, it would have got more interest, but it didn't because it was an abstract concept no one really knew anything about.
How about this for an idea? How about we?
This always goes Morgan.
So this is not an interview. This is Morgan's film school.
Dylan could school my ass. Although to be fair, it was only when I got involved with his 48 Hours team that we won Auckland. Let's get some money. Let's Mechanical Turk this. Get people to webcam themselves. We'll have to make a bunch of scripts of things where we'll have like an audio track they listen to, and they do certain motions in time. Yeah, maybe a voiceover, we're not going to use sound from them. We're going to use only sound from the video. And we'll have to script, whatever number of people we want to record, get them to act out the motion in front of their webcam and send us a video and then cut it together from that. And then we can just make a fucking video, and then we can go on to make the next one where we'll possibly get more traction because we'll have something out there.
Well, it's funny you say, I hadn't seen this Hibi no Nero video, which I'm actually watching now.
How cool is it?
It's very clever, but
And so copying that,
planning
was,
that was involved in making it, and what became difficult.
What money? What money do you think is involved? It's just fans, you know, playing to their webcams. There's no money there.
No, it's not. Look at but it's a lot of planning. I mean, you look at the level.
Yes, it's a lot of planning, but planning is something that doesn't require a corporate budget.
No, but it requires a huge amount of
creativity,
of time, and involvement. I mean, it was always going to be a part time project for me. It was never going to be something like it.
Of course. Yes, no doubt.
So, but the thing was, I thought about this concept for a while, and I thought, you know, how can you involve people? And that was what I hoped to do initially, with trying to solicit ideas from people that they could say, you know, oh, I've had this idea for a thing in a video, or I've always wanted to see this.
So, do you think there's a philosophical reason why people didn't want to help?
Because people are fucking consuming assholes. They're like assholes with teeth. They're like a sphincter dentata. All they want is to be fed cheese and cashews
and podcasts
by the few of us who actually produce content. I fucking hate people on the internet.
You hate our listeners.
They want your content, but they hate your content.
Cheese and cashews are good. It's hard to deny.
I've been quietly judged by senior discourse philosophy commentator Ryan Sproul.
No, I'm just not going to let you move past the fact that you just suggested that assholes with teeth eat.
Why else would they have teeth?
That's a very good point. Self-defense is another option.
It's like it's like a cloaca. Cloaca.
Stop.
All those people like assholes. Cloaca. Just
it's like a cloaca.
Wait, hang on, hold it. Stop, everyone.
Yep.
We've got an in-studio guest talking into a microphone in the studio.
How is that possible?
Isn't that amazing?
Without even being introduced.
No, we just introduced you as well. That's
good. I introduced you.
I think they needed more fanfare around the fact that we had a third in-studio person.
Senior philosophy commentator, Ryan Sproul.
Is he just sitting very, very close to Morgan? Is that what's happening?
I put my lips to his ear as I have so many times.
If he was right next to me, we actually would have had a lot less trouble setting everything up.
Because it's gone well for you.
I'm very glad that Ryan is here, but the microphone that he, you know, would otherwise be using doesn't arrive until probably in a few days.
Yes.
So what he's using instead is just some piece of shit out of the bin.
some wet toilet paper wrapped around a receiver. Yeah.
My penis.
If you dip some wires and some beer and things, you could probably power the whole thing too.
Exactly. So seriously,
we're dipping Ryan in beers.
Seriously, bringing us back to a more highbrow discourse.
Yes, this is trying to get traction, right? Trying to get people to actually play.
But I'm interested, like the whole social media thing from a philosophical perspective. Why would I give two shits about?
You know who got people to play?
About Dylan's.
Zay Frank got people to play. He got people really engaged.
That was before social media was social media as well.
That's absolutely right. He got people engaged in a way that I don't think I've ever seen a single person ever manage again.
No, it's incredible.
I thought about it afterwards, though, and I thought, how do people use? I mean, maybe Twitter was the wrong approach. I probably should have put more effort into Facebook, because how do people use Twitter? And I don't know about other people, but I often am using it on the go. You know, I don't really have time to sit down, listen to an MP3, construct some meaningful thoughts out of it. Sometimes I'll favorite it or save the link for later on, but you know, half the time I don't go back to it.
And a retweet is a lot less. I give it a lot less kudos than sharing something on Facebook.
It's not just
I'm looking at 160 characters to try and get across a fairly complex idea of what it was I was actually trying to achieve. But anyway, the point is, well, I've still got the band, and we're still going to make the music video. But it's now less of a social music video and more of a
conventionally just
relying
produced
on our friends
video.
To make a music video, which is what most music videos are anyway.
Which is weak. God damn you. I had such great hopes for this project.
Yeah, but...
And you really contributed a lot to helping me realise it, Morgan, and I appreciate that.
I did actually offer to help you,
yes,
sarcastic
you
motherfucker.
You offered to...
help hold the lights or something?
Come on in as the onboard consultant director, I think it was.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure I did want to direct. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's
Another word, dictator, actually.
I think I did my bit by not showing up, because, as you know, the first time that I had nothing to do with the 48-hour film competition, we got into the finals.
That wasn't the first time you had nothing to do with it, Morgan.
It's there in body, if not in spirit.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll start recording and then we can get cracking.
Yeah, you can do it. It's puts me into this podcast.
Are those levels okay with you on Skype? Is that working okay? I can hear them okay.
Yeah, I can't hear anyone when I talk, but I don't really want to, so that's fine.
Sausage Factory.
Dylan, thank you for talking to us about the social video, and best of luck on it, and hopefully it goes well.
Hey, Dylan.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how are you talking to us right now?
Oh, actually, funny you should mention that. I don't have a headset for my computer, so what I've done is I've plugged my headset that came with my LG Android.
Cut him off. Cut him off now.
I'm not cutting him off.
I'm running the Skype application, which doesn't exist for Windows Phone 7.
So you're Skyping to us from your Android phone, which is something that you can't possibly do from Windows Phone 7. That's very interesting.
You can't do it.
No, you also can't multitask on Windows. No, what is it? You can't multitask.
There's no
according to Microsoft, for
our blind viewers,
and can't copy and paste.
Pointedly at Ben at the moment.
You can't copy paste. There's no sockets. You can't.
According to Microsoft, you only want to use it for about 2 seconds at a time.
I mean, have you got your Windows Phone 7 there, Ben? Are you, when I texted you before, did it come
through? I'll tell you what, he's got his fucking iPhone.
I got my iPhone 4. Oh,
he's got his iPhone 4 again. You fucking lying bastard. And Nigel was so proud of you returning back to the fold.
It's great. I love Windows Phone 7, but it's like, you have to think iPhone 1, right? iPhone 1. Was panned.
Yeah, which everyone in the world bought and used constantly, and many people still are using. Yep,
yeah, panned roundly because it couldn't multitask. It didn't have copy paste. It was fucking 2.5G. It wasn't even a 3G phone.
The problem with iPhone, the first generation iPhone was no apps. Actually, that's the problem.
Yeah, so 2000.
I thought
apps.
It was very very dull. It was pretty but dull. And once they got apps, it was clear how dull it was before they got apps.
It's funny how our expectations change, isn't it? Because it's like had Windows Phone 7 come out 2 years ago, everyone would have been like, wow, it's great, but now everyone's like, nah, it's dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
Are people actually saying it's dumb?
Well, no, they're not.
Dylan
really.
Just did.
I don't think anyone's saying it's dumb. I think actually people are saying it's very, very good.
There's a few people saying it is dumb in places, you know, copy and paste.
Loads disappointed with what it doesn't have that you now come to expect.
Yeah. And whereas, I would suggest that I think Ben must be disappointed with what it doesn't have, given that he's using an iPhone 4.
Well, like I said to someone else, if you compare the value or the benefit of
the value of a free phone,
a free iPhone 4 is exactly infinitely better than any other phone. Exactly.
Oh,
you can't argue with that. That's science.
Exactly. We're talking about a divide by zero here. So
infinitely. Okay, well, that's very good. Hey, I just had a procedural question to ask you about your podcast because I've been listening to it, you know, obviously since day zero.
Don't talk about the Sausage Factory.
What I'm not sure about is
talk out.
You can say but I'll beep it. You can also say as well, but I'll beep it.
You can say anything. He's going to beep everything you say.
That stuff you were talking about on a previous podcast that I said on Twitter that I knew about, I shouldn't mention that either.
No, you shouldn't mention anything about
yep.
having his...
All
oh, fuck no. Not
I didn't talk about...
Not yet.
That's a bit close to home. The stories I could tell you. Have you heard the phrase spit roasting?
Yes, I have heard the phrase.
I hadn't heard it.
We can't talk about
you.
This, though.
I know what you're saying.
All right.
I know what you're saying.
We can't talk about this.
I've read the death threats.
Death threats?
Oh, are you talking about something else?
Yes, I'm talking about something else.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I will fuck you up, the fucking face.
I know. I've seen the movies you made.
So, to tell you one interesting thing about the social media thing, I got someone on Twitter who I know who has... What did they say? 28,000 followers?
Yes.
28,000 followers.
Name, Justin.
Wow, he must tweet really good stuff.
He retweeted a couple of my tweets about the social media music video when I was looking for followers because, you know, you have to build up the followers, otherwise no one will give you stuff for free, and no one will give me stuff for free because I didn't get enough followers. And of the 28,000 people that follow him that he retweeted my plea for followers to or whatever the hell it was that he retweeted for me, I think perhaps approximately zero of them followed me.
This is all about engagement.
Did you get John Campbell helping?
Yeah.
I should have. I didn't. I got Mr. Jose Barbosa talked
like
to me on Media 7, which actually was possibly the most productive part of the...
We should get Jose on.
...entire thing. And Timothy Giles interviewed me on Kiwi FM, a radio station, which you may remember was the thing that we used before podcasts.
Yes. But Kiwi FM has all
which also
about.
Helped. Kiwi and FM. Actually, that's where the Solsian... How did we decide it was said?
Solsian
guys found out about me.
Really?
So that was...
I thought Kiwi FM only had about 50 listeners.
Apparently. Well, actually, this track is on, and the Solsian album has entered the Kiwi FM playlist.
But who am I kidding? Because we only have about 50 listeners anyway. So
I'd like to go on record as saying that Jose Barbosa is one of the coolest people I have ever met.
He's a
lovely,
lovely guy.
Just an awesome guy.
We should have him on to
What's
talk
he
about
New Zealand's
something.
Answer to something else from somewhere else?
Just the dude.
Is he New Zealand's answer to Lonely Sandwich?
Is that
looks
the,
a bit
is
like
that Urban Dictionary Word of the Week?
Who's Lonely Sandwich?
No, it's not Urban Dictionary Word of the Week. Would you like to do an Urban Dictionary Word of the Week?
Is it a sandwich that doesn't have another sandwich with it?
All right, so I spotted an opportunity to do a Discourse Weekly show, Urban Dictionary Word of the Week. Let's play the sting.
Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
wow, it's good. Dylan, Dylan Reeve, have you heard previous week's Words of the Week? Do you understand
the
theme?
I've heard most of them. I understand the game.
You missed last week's lemon theme, but it's okay.
I haven't got to it yet. I'm still catching up. It takes me about 3 days to actually get through a podcast with constant interruptions and having to do my real job.
That's because they're 3 days long is the issue.
Approximately.
Yeah, and also it just takes me that long to download the 160 kilobits per second of pure audio.
Oh, genius. Well, the last two things that have gone up were actually 96 kilobits per second. We aim for about an hour.
Yeah,
but
dick.
But we have a ceiling of, we have a ceiling of 90 minutes. So right. So it's anywhere between an hour and 90 minutes. But anyway, that's not important. We're going to have a word of the week. And this one, there's no chance you're going to get it. And please don't look it up.
You always say that.
And Ryan is the only person who's ever managed to get one of them right. And he's not going to manage it again tonight.
That was fairly fucking simple.
It was
a sandwich.
Yeah, it was simple.
It's a sandwich that's big.
Have you visited Urban Dictionary, Ryan? Do you understand what it's there for?
I am Urban Dictionary,
Dylan,
my friend.
Dylan, yep. Your word. And everyone will get to have a go after Dylan has a go.
That's what she said.
And now I'm not sure how to pronounce this. Let's call it quabbing a chema. Quabbing a chema, or maybe quabbing a chema.
I think I might get in trouble if I try and delve too deeply into quibbing a chema. Well, see, it's quite good because I couldn't actually look that up because there's no chance in hell I'm going to spell it right.
So is that three words or two?
It's actually three
words
in this phrase. Quabbing a chema.
All right.
So quab is the verb and chema is a noun, presumably.
I think that's probably right.
It's the object of the transitive verb.
Thanks, Ryan. You know, I didn't get much past verbs and just the basic verb noun construct. And even then, I can get those. I can't remember what an adjective is.
Primary school dropout, Dylan Reeve.
Yeah. I didn't actually start primary school till I was eight. Anyway.
What does it mean?
It means, well, queeb reminds me of queef, I think it is, which is a vaginal fart. But I don't think that's probably where it's going, so I'm...
That is the most hilarious thing. The thing that I like is that I'm not bothered by them, but the girl is always so embarrassed.
I think it's sexual. I can't come up with a good explanation.
Let me enter the microphone, Ryan. If you're going to fall apart, you've got to get on mic. Now, Dylan says, as far as Dylan's prepared to go, is he thinks
actually,
it's
look,
something sexual.
Morgan, let's do it this way. Is it something that Ryan would have done before about the age of 19?
Impossible.
No, okay.
21, thank you very much.
21, sorry. Carry on.
Maybe Chris.
Are you going to beep that, or is Chris going to listen to this and go, what the fuck?
I'll beep the part.
Right, just Chris
just
beep.
So Chris has a chance.
Ben's confused.
As far as
this
I know,
is very, very yes in joke.
It doesn't matter though because the beeps are funny. So, so are you actually going to give it a whack?
Is give it a whack a hint?
Oh well, in a sense, yes. So this is quite a big definition.
Can we read it again? Quibbing a what?
Well, you can call it quibbing a chema.
Quibbing a chema.
It's written like quabbing to me. Quabbing. Quabbing.
Could you use it in a sentence?
I could. Damn, I really had fun quabbing a chema with that chick. It was really adventurous.
Holy shit.
Which is the worst example sentence on Urban Dictionary. Because it's not accurate.
Does
that's
have anything
why I
to do with World of Warcraft?
It might have been done in World of Warcraft.
I have got nothing. The only things I can think are just there's so many better terms.
There was a African American lesbian cop in The Wire called Kima.
Kilkima, yeah.
Right. Well, this might be based on her then.
Okay. Quibbing.
She was also vegetarian, but I noticed that you characterized her by African American and lesbian. Yeah. Interesting.
It's because I'm a bigot.
You're a racist, heteronormative.
Absolutely.
It's like the opposite of PC gone mad.
Why don't you just go host breakfast?
Some of my best friends are racists.
I am racist, but I'm not proud of it. It's something that I struggle with.
Absolutely. I think everyone does.
And I think the struggle is the important part.
Everyone's pissed, isn't they? Everyone's some form of pissed. You have to make judgments about people simply from appearance before you know them anyway.
Well, you don't have to, but you do.
Well,
you
know,
you
do
if you want to have...
You always categorize, you know, even... The subconscious level, you're always going to make some sort of...
You need your parents to have, because there have been a lot... There's a lot of human history in which being paranoid and untrusting saved a lot of lives. Now, Ryan, would you like to have a whack at quabbing a chema?
I bet he would.
I'm not sure, would I?
Would you like to have a guess?
Oh, right. To quab a chema is to suspend a woman by an intricate pulley system in an outdoor shed while fondling a poodle.
That's you said Ryan wouldn't have done this before he was 21.
That's right.
And this is something that I had not done before I was 21.
Or
after. Oh, right.
22.
Morgan didn't mention that I'm the person who coined the phrase.
The person who coined the phrase is better than Jack, and this was added to Urban Dictionary on June the 24th last year. It's had 36 upper votes and 59 down votes.
Oh, come on. Right.
So no one's guessing it. I'm going to tell you. Two little kids were in karate class, and one took their belt off and started f***ing the girl's with it. Then they took off their clothes and started Then the little boy in her
Which little boy?
He's still, hang on, he's taking a breath.
And then she s***ed it in his Then he s***ed it. Then s***ed his arm up her Then she started s***ing uncontrollably. Then the male teacher started yelling at them, but then started s***ing them both. And he chewed on their arms and legs, and he s***ed the kids. Then someone called the popo, and they came and arrested him. But then the teacher started s***ing the cops. Then the cop joined in, and it became a foursome.
So this
what,
is
what do you quabbing, call a show like that?
Quabbing a chema.
Right. The aristocrats. That is awesome. Thank you.
Wow.
I have a problem with the lack of clarity in that definition. In that there was originally two boys, and then they're just referring to one.
Who said there was originally two boys? It said two little kids.
Two little kids. Oh, a boy and a girl.
So now you're a sexist.
Up. Am I?
Oh, what are girls doing in karate
class?
But you
obviously to have a problem with the overuse of the word rape in our society.
I think that rape should never. I think it's very challenging to use rape in a joke and be funny.
Mm. So
I think
you
probably Louis C.K. can do it pretty well, but most others.
There's a lot of these things. There's rape. There's gay. There's abortion.
Oh, gay is the worst one. I think abortion is bad, but gay is I think the worst one at the moment.
Worst
because gay is quite an insult.
Obviously because you know limp wristed, wearing.
Yeah, but good with interior design, and that's really quite important. It'll
yeah, zhuzhing shit up.
Career.
That's cool.
And those chaps. And
I
those
always
stashes.
Wondered about the expression
Hosting
buttless chaps.
Breakfast.
Though, chaps normally have butts.
Assless chaps.
I guess chaps never do, but usually they're worn
like
with
the
trousers
phrase,
underneath.
Assless chaps, because it does suggest somebody who would be the least interested in just a bunch of guys. No interest whatsoever in gay sex. And yet,
why do all these gay guys keep sucking my dick?
Well, thank you, Dylan. It's good. It fits in well with the tech podcast, so it's good.
Yep. This is a comedy podcast. We should be talking about...
oh, what about that email thing you mentioned before?
Email thing?
We're talking about how many emails we get. I get more emails than you. I get 5,500 emails a day.
Oh, we're talking about social and why people don't engage.
And what numbers mean.
I'm afraid I don't remember.
Twitter followers
engagement.
So many of them are just spam followers.
I would just like the listeners to consider how well I'm not talking over people. I want you to look back at episode 0 and 1. And I want you to remember how it was. Just you think about that. There's something in there
I like
for all
to
of
think,
us.
Morgan, that this, and I just talked over you, I like to think that this podcast is making you a better conversationalist.
No way. No way, because in conversation I can't edit my shit.
Good point. You also can't beat it, which is quite traumatic for those around you.
Start again.
See how the people who were talking over each other then were our guests.
Mm. It's being in studio is giving Ryan a big head, I think, and making him wanting to talk over people.
He's cocky. He's cocky because he's got the biggest pop guard on his microphone.
Spoffle. I like a spoffle because Hugh Laurie invented the word spoffle.
Good for
you. Yeah, I should probably leave you guys to it because I just wanted to get you onto that spam thing because I was just, you know, it was funny when I was saying that that Justin retweeted my thing to 30,000 people and no one.
Ben?
Yes, Morgan, ben. Talking over
there. Cut him off.
Okay.
Thank you, Dylan. Work. We appreciate it.
Have a good night.
You, yeah.
You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
it's funny that he should talk about email spam, because does everyone else have a Food Town One card?
Hey, do you know what?
Are you going to talk about something completely unrelated to my question that I just asked?
I have a Food Town One card, I do. But I had something went into my spam folder for the first time in about 6 months. An invite to a movie.
Right.
Went into a spam folder and I lost it. Anyway, one card.
I'm very sorry to hear that. It would be nice if I could find it. Let me see. What are they called these days? They're not called Food Town anymore.
One card. Countdown.
Now... Ryan might not want us to discuss this, but Ryan actually is in marketing. He's not a philosopher day to day. Well, he's a philosopher at all times.
I thought you were going to bring up the fact that I spent 2 years as a countdown checkout chick. But,
I wasn't going to do that.
I thought you were going to say 2 years in the Foreign Legion or something.
I'd forgotten that you were a checkout chick.
I was.
If not Foreign Legion, but Ryan Sproul is actually a martial artist of some repute.
No, I'm not.
We've sparred. I think I kicked your ass.
Yeah, I vaguely remember tasting mud.
What was I saying? Oh, yes. Now, this is apropos of nothing. I want to talk about I'm going to continue calling them Foodtown.
One card, yes.
Countdown. What the fuck brand is Countdown? Foodtown was a premium brand.
Yeah, Countdown to me. And they replaced it with Countdown. Yeah.
What the fuck were they thinking?
Australians. You see, I've been coming from the South Island. I've got a very different feel. Foodtown and Three Guys are these alien North Island concepts.
Right.
I grew up with Foodtown.
Okay, can I point one thing out?
Regardless, anyway.
Can I point one thing out? The entire population of the South Island, I'm talking over you now. And I acknowledge it and I'm enjoying it. The entire population of the South Island is like one suburb of Auckland.
Yes.
Right. So if those motherfuckers don't recognize the Foodtown brand, but virtually everyone else in the whole entire country does, and think of it as a premium brand, and they replace it with fucking Countdown? Fucking Countdown?
It's bizarre.
Are you kidding?
You talk too much louder and they'll cut off your power.
But it's okay. So you shouldn't be shopping at Countdown anyway. You should be shopping at New World and Pack and Save, which are owner-operated and collective.
And New World, particularly the one in Freeman's Bay, I'm not really familiar with all of them. They have an incredible. Enjoy going there. They have better produce than Foodtown.
Yes.
And they have a really nice beer selection.
Yes, because New World and Pack and Save owners are free to stock whatever the fuck they want. They don't have to swallow the cock of the central distributor. They can if they want to, and they can band together to get better prices from their central collective, which is Foodstuffs.
Collective. This sounds socialist.
It does. It's incredibly socialist.
That's very, and wait for it, that's very progressive of them.
Oh, ho, ho!
But I mean, there's still evil fucking supermarkets that are you know, doing things like, the one thing that Foodstuffs does, which horrifies me, is central butchery. So what was happening is they would send carcasses to the stores.
What's a carcass made of?
Meat.
Meat?
They'd send cows to the stores.
Yep.
You know, and so they'd send carcasses to Manukau and they'd be butchered.
One second.
Yes.
Sentient beings, am I right, philosopher?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And they killed them for a tasty snack, is that right?
They feel and pain what's and worse, they have a desire to continue to live, if that's what.
And they
asking.
Can experience, as far as I can tell, joy and love.
And yes. Fear
they can,
and pain.
They can gamble. Pain. Yeah. So gamble, I mean, not
yep,
gamble,
I got
gamble.
It.
They can gamble.
I got it. No,
they're not allowed into the casino. Ben Gracewood is not a lawyer.
I'll just finish my point.
B-O-L.
So what would happen is the sirloin and the eye fillet steak wouldn't sell in Manukau.
Yeah.
And the beef hock and, I don't know, beef cheeks and whatever wouldn't sell in Remerera.
Yep.
So they've gone to Central Butchery where they don't send sirloin and eye fillet, or they send very little of it to Manukau. And it's horrific. We stopped in on the way back from a holiday.
I bet you one thing. I bet in Manukau, thank you, Manukau.
Manukau.
I bet in Manukau, they don't buy their meat at Pack and Save or wherever we're talking about. I bet they go to the Mad Butcher.
Probably. But the other thing is that we stopped in there on the way back from a holiday because, you know, it was just off the motorway.
It was all fatty cuts, wasn't it?
It was just fucking disgusting. Yeah. You know, it was chops and hooves and you know, ribs. No decent cuts of meat, which...
How the hell do you eat a hoove? Do you mean like a knuckle or something?
You boil them down, yeah.
A hoove?
Well, not a hoove.
A hoof.
A knuckle. Yeah, you know what I mean? Pig trotters and this sort of stuff. Pig's trotters, this sort of thing.
With toes.
Yeah, absolutely. You pop them off once you've boiled them.
Toes that they used to use to caress their loved ones.
Their loved ones while they lived in
their tasty loved ones.
Seemingly eternal torment.
Their tasty
loved
ones.
In a dark concrete
This
cave.
Is two against one, fucking vegans and vegetarians.
There's no vegans in the room.
we hate vegans.
Listen, in a fight between vegetarians and vegans, you know who wins?
The guy with the gun.
Exactly.
And vegans don't use guns.
Hopefully you're horrified by the idea of central butchery.
Sorry, vegan gunpowder?
Yeah, I imagine you can. I don't see that any of those components are animal sourced.
I've been rendered speechless.
It'll probably turn out that there's some part of, what's it like, nitrile or something? Nitrite?
Trinitrotoluene?
The smokeless stuff? No, not TNT. I don't think you use TNT in bullets.
No, you do.
It'll turn out that it's got like honey in it. And said that now those motherfuckers, we're really going to kill them. We're going to be like, eat this cheese or die, motherfucker. And they can choose, if they have lactose intolerance, they can choose to have an egg instead.
Anyway.
Or else.
But don't you feel that's horrible, though, the central butchery thing as well, is because it's basically enforcing a stereotype and...
Enforcing a stereotype? What do you mean? They're reacting to the market. If they weren't, if they, the people in the area, weren't buying the thing, is it better to send it to somewhere where it's going to be bought, or is it better for it to go to waste on the shelf? If you're going to kill an animal and cut it up into pieces,
yeah, I mean,
and,
I suppose,
and
so,
sell
I suppose
those so. Bits, it's but better to not throw.
How dare you question the market, you socialist?
This is my point.
See episode 4, and you'll discover that the market is bullshit.
There's also cans of Spam, so...
Now, is it maybe...
Lots of cans of Spam in Pack and Save Manuka.
Now, isn't it true, weren't the supermarkets caught out for having unbelievable, like, price-gouging markups on produce? So if you went to your local...
There hasn't fruitioned yet. Hasn't come to fruition. It was sort of bleated about in the papers, but nothing really came of it.
Where the producers, the farmers, were saying, listen, they're paying us this much and then they're selling it for 10 times that.
Yeah.
And why are the mandarins now $7 a kilo when they're paying
us? Because people are paying enough money for the mandarins. And it's because they've been frozen since last year. To be the price that they're sold at.
Exactly.
Don't question the market, Morgan.
We need price controls. We need to bring back Peggy.
Market determines the value of the product.
Get fucked, market.
Especially the frozen
false
peaches
scarcity
from last
determines
season
the price of the market.
Why is it false scarcity? There isn't disgusting that many mandarins going around.
I think there's enough that every man, woman, and child
has a mandarin.
Can have a mandarin on their family table.
Lining up in
this is not
gray,
World War II.
Grey bread lines next to the dead state housing.
So what do you want? Do you want the government to subsidize mandarins for everyone?
I want free mandarins for everyone.
A mandarin for the land you're in. Morgan Nickel for Auckland Central.
That would be treating. Would that be treating?
I don't know what the rules are there. Can you give out lollipops?
I think that's probably treating.
Yeah.
Do you know that? Remember that world's fastest lawnmower? And we debated what that...
Hold that thought.
What?
Because where I was going... This is about a Spam from Foodtown. Now,
we've passed that topic.
No, I want to go back to this.
I remember that from like 5 minutes
exactly
ago. Exactly.
Back in the day.
I remember it as well. Now, I have one card, which means that I let a corporation know deeply, precisely, their goods and...
Oh, you bought less condoms this week, Morgan.
Yep. And
but more porn.
Who would buy porn at a supermarket? They're not going to have any. They're not going to have any like spread. I want.
So come back to your Spam.
Okay.
Email.
So anyway. So they have a database compiled of the purchasing habits of everyone, and they could probably do this same thing based on just swiping your FPOS card. But that would be a bit sneaky. Probably privacy implications there. But they send out a weekly email newsletter. Not only does it have a customized graphic in the title with my first name, but what they've also got is their selection of specials from their 4,000 or 5,000 specials of the week, which they think I'll actually be interested in.
Right,
mandarins.
And watching them. Let's see, are there any mandarins here? No, there's no mandarins here. But watching them over the last few months as they gradually bracketed me in like a mortar team trying to figure out what products I was into is incredible.
It's a mess.
And they've hit a couple of times. Often they accidentally drop a little bit of meat in there. But let me tell you what I've got here. I've got my shower gel, my favorite juice, the beans that I buy, crumpets, the Weet-Bix that I buy.
Do you do crumpets regularly, or are they suggesting
scrumpy? They've got the wrong cheese. Last week was actually a better example because they had the right vegetarian cheese and so on. And these are like,
I think we should go back to scrumpy. What are you, 17?
What's the problem you've got with scrumpy?
It's just there's other cider.
I am a cider drinker.
So, they've sunk your battleship, so to speak.
They have sunk my battleship, but not so much this week because they've got Angel Bay Lamb Bite Nuggets, 500 grams, $7.99, which is a mistake. Also, they've got...
Sorry, can you do that again? No.
That was kind of...
That was... Wow.
So that's...
Someone said lamb. So a stock truck pulled up next to me at the lights in the city the other day.
Did it smell of piss and fear?
Yes, but the thing is that I looked at it and I wanted to think, oh God, you know, corporates and killing animals stuff. All I could think was, yum.
I've got to tell you, well-prepared lamb is very tasty.
Fantastic.
But it's also a small creature that was killed for that tastiness.
Yes.
Lamb rack.
So I suggest, now humbly allow me to suggest, don't eat meat all the time because you'll take it for granted and you won't actually enjoy it as much as if you just have the very best meat you can get for kind of special meals.
And be aware of where it came from.
And be aware of where it came from. And you better get on your mic because that mic's not very sensitive.
And be aware where it came from. Have some respect for where your food comes from.
Exactly. That's absolutely right. Okay, now no one is interested in my talking about the spam from the supermarket.
So where are you going with the spam from the supermarket?
So
are
Morgan,
you finished
have you
with
received
it?
Any finished. More emails from the supermarket was that recently?
I receive a new one every week. Would you like me to go into it in detail?
Was that the entire story? I was waiting for the climax.
Right. That's what she said. It just keeps on coming up. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
But you remember the world's fastest lawnmower?
The world's
about?
Fastest lawnmower. And we didn't know what Wales. The criteria were. We figured that at full speed it was probably cutting one blade of grass
and,
per 20
and
meters.
And I was sure that they didn't
had no blades.
Have the blade on because it would be too fucking dangerous.
No catcher.
Yeah. Well, I actually was watching random TV on Sunday and on the Discovery Channel.
Oh, it's Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I quite often put
random
on
the, TV would actually be quite fun.
I quite often put on the Discovery Channel and sometimes in the background because I just love some of the stuff that's on it. And this is
wallpaper media.
Lo and behold, there was a big flat beach in Britain. They were talking about the tide and having to get the right tide. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Looks like a big flat sort of salt pan thing. I thought, oh, they're going to do a land speed record. And then this guy turns up in a lawnmower.
Oh,
and
ho, ho.
It was actually a program
what
about
a coincidence.
The lawnmower land speed record. And the thing is that they had to demonstrate before the two speed runs, they had to do a speed run in each direction to, you know, calculate the average sort of stuff. They had to demonstrate that it could cut grass.
Wow.
So they had the team there, the Guinness record team, and everyone watching, and the guy had to cut some grass, had to cut a swathe of grass. No high speed or anything. And what it was it looked like a lawnmower. Right on lawnmower, but he was sitting right down low in the chassis, like sort of inside it almost. Mm. Had a helmet and leathers on, and then they would cut the grass, and then they put it on the sand, and he did his speed record.
Now, philosopher, can you just tell me? We call it a coincidence, but does the universe actually want us to know something when it shows us something we've been discussing previously?
Well, that's in itself a crazy coincidence because as I was walking here, I thought
I exceeded the New Zealand land speed record for walking while inebriated.
Amazing coincidence.
I wasn't inebriated before I got here.
That's a coincidence.
No, what's a coincidence is as I was walking here, I thought, well, what fucking philosophy? Why do people want to hear about philosophy and Nietzsche? And for some reason, I started thinking about synchronicity. And how I would describe synchronicity as seeing there being significance in events by their occurring at the same time rather than being causal. What
like because there was because there was a recent lawnmower land speed record, so therefore there was recent news articles and it was on TV as well.
Well, no, that would be back to the usual causal natural explanation kind of thing. But for synchronicity is to take a look at the events in the world, and it should be familiar to anyone who reads such wank as The Celestine Prophecy, and probably I haven't read it, The Secret, whatever new fad there is on Oprah. But synchronicity...
The Secret?
The Secret.
I've seen it, but I haven't read it, yeah.
You've seen it, but you haven't read it.
The other one is there's a book called The Road Less Traveled.
Road Less Traveled is actually...
M. Scott Peck.
Yeah, that's actually good.
But he talks about the unified subconscious in that.
He does, and I'm not hassling the unified subconscious. I'm hassling crayon-written versions of psychology and spirituality that actually have some kind of value to them. And I have to give M. Scott Peck his props despite his occasional nuttiness.
The thing that fucked me off about that book, right, is he starts off, first line, isn't it? Life is hard. Life is hard is his first line in that book. And then he goes on to say, and I thought it was fantastic because he's a psychologist, and he said basically people keep coming to him and saying, oh, my life is so horrible. It's so hard. And he's worked out that, yes, life is hard because you have to practice life.
Yeah.
You have to practice maths or practice gymnastics. You've got to practice life.
Yeah.
But then he goes on and talks about life is hard. And then he cracks, I think it's chapter 4, he suddenly comes out and says, so therefore we love each other because there's a God. And I thought, you fucking cheap bastard, because you're saying this life is hard and you're coming up with a simple, stupid answer.
All is for the best in the best of all possible worlds.
I don't know. In his defense, and I'm no peckist, but in his defense...
You're a picker, though, aren't
picker,
you?
Do I need to bleep that?
In his... Picker. It does mean... Might have to bleep that.
Anyway, in his defense,
I don't think he ever really wanted to get across the idea that God exists, therefore everything's really easy. His main theme, especially in that book, is that all of the things that manifest themselves as mental illness that aren't physiologically based are mechanisms by which people avoid what he calls legitimate suffering.
Yeah.
So
hard work.
Hard work.
And
we don't want to have the hard work, and so we come up with ways of avoiding them, and they are obsessions, procrastinations, addictions, blaming people other than ourselves, and all of these manifest themselves as mental illnesses. And what he finds is the common kind of thread is that people just need to fucking do the hard yards.
Yes.
And I don't think that bringing up God in chapter 4 stops that from being his theme.
Although it just pissed me off at no end
Don't get pissed off till you read People of the Lie, where he starts to get into demonic possession and stuff.
Awesome. So anyway, did I distract you from your topic there? You were talking about
Well, that all depends. Synchronicity. What the fuck was I talking about? Synchronicity. So as I was walking here, I was thinking about synchronicity and how it explains synchronicity. Should it be the case that it came up in this podcast? And of course, it did.
Wow, that's a coincidence.
I suspect that if you're listening and you look at the clock or look around you right now, you'll see the number 23 somehow. Or if you don't see it immediately, you're going to see it sometime in the next 24 hours or the next 23 hours. And there are two ways of explaining this. Either 23 is in fact a recurring number that keeps on coming up throughout the universe at a statistically improbable frequency, or I've just put the number 23 in your head and you're going to see it. And the reason why you remember it is because I've brought it up. You're going to see any number of other numbers that aren't 23 in the next wee while. But the only numbers you're going to remember and note and that will go into your short-term memory and then be filtered through into your long-term memory are the number 23.
Right, so hence fast lawnmower.
Exactly. You've heard any number of things in the last... Well, how long is it since you talked about the fast lawnmower? 3 weeks.
Yeah.
3 weeks. Like plenty of time for you to hear any number of things. But it's like, okay, you've bought a new car and suddenly you see that same make and model every fucking where?
Absolutely. And it is
Never saw it before amazing. Then. Never, ever, ever saw that car.
That's right. Yeah. Ever learn a new word and suddenly everybody's using it and it's in everything you read?
Like a Segway.
Aztec.
Oh, no, we're not moving on to another Urban Dictionary word of the week. Sorry, my point is that...
I see big sandwiches everywhere.
The real kind of learning...
I don't think you see them for very long, though, do you, you fat fuck? I taste big sandwiches everywhere.
Like an asshole with teeth eating everything.
Big meaties. Okay, synchronicity is because people are obsessed with what they've just heard.
Or there is significance in events that occur at the same time.
What about M. Scott Peck's coordinated subconscious, where he basically says when we sleep, and I'm trying to remember, I haven't read it in about 10 years, but he said he would have trouble finding a solution for one of his patients, but then he would go to sleep and he would come up with a solution, and then he'd meet someone who had the same solution or something. I'm trying to remember. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Again, you've got the two different ways of explaining it. There are always more than one explanation for any observed phenomenon, right? Now, let's say that you are operating within a paradigm which provides explanations for just about everything you see.
Mm.
you have a tendency to fall back on that paradigm and turn to it for explanations right. for all your observed phenomena.
So I have a hammer and everything looks like a nail.
Exactly. And it's not just you've got a hammer. It's not just you've got a hammer, but the hammer has become so much part of you that you don't even notice it anymore. It's simply reality is a whole field of nails and right. and your perspective is the hammer. So this is an old example I used to use, but you see somebody commit a crime. You see somebody snatch a bag and run away. All right. You're a Christian and you go, ah, there's original sin.
Cut his hand off.
The natural sin to cut his hand off. We're not up to that yet. you see this happen. You say, oh, original sin. That person is, fallen human nature. They have a tendency to be selfish and act right. antisocially. If only he could, meet the redeeming power of Christ, his nature would be changed and there would be a chance for him to turn things mm-hmm. around, metanoia and all that. Now, let's say that you are a Buddhist seeing exactly the same thing. You walk out, you see, the purse gets snatched. Ah, well, that's the clinging delusions of a person immersed in samsara and the mistaken belief that they themselves are a persisting entity and that by clinging to material things, they may be able to fend off the inevitabilities of suffering and death. And then somebody else walks out and they're a rationalist humanist and they see the same thing and they say, well, we have evolved to be selfish. And if that person weighs it up and thinks they can get away with it, then, that's a very obvious and predictable kind of behavior for somebody who's been brought up into this society. And the socialist will have something to say, and everybody else will have something to say, because people interpret their experiences through their pre-existing frameworks.
Worldview.
Or as Robert Anton Wilson said, what the thinker thinks, the prover proves. Whatever you already believe, that's what everything you experience is going to reassure you is correct.
Confirmation bias.
Right. Confirmation bias.
If you've recently read The Secret.
I've never read The Secret.
You'll be blown away by it. Well, yeah, I'm assuming it's like you say.
Can I sum up what we are going to conclude?
Sure.
Fuck the fucking secret.
Yeah, fuck the fucking
secret. Right, carry on.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say, actually. It could be that The Secret has predictable...
Magic thinking.
Yeah, but
the universe is going to listen to me.
I tell the universe that I really want a new TV, and it provides.
There's a whole lot of people in Africa who really want food. Assholes.
Yeah, but...
Eat, pray, love.
What if by wishing strongly and visualizing having that TV...
Any change is internal. If what you do is make a change in yourself,
what does
so
it matter?
You change things yourself? Yes, the universe has no part of it.
Oh, universe has no part of it.
But what does it matter if a stupid, fucked up middle aged American woman with a bad life reads The Secret and suddenly feels really good about herself and
They already believe too much in magical thinking. Those entitled motherfuckers
can get off her Prozac and can support her kids and become a lovely person.
One problem with that kind of thinking, and it's something that comes up not just in The Secret, but also in certain kinds of evangelical Christian thinking, and there are other variants of the same thing, which is that it provides a metaphysical justification for blaming the victim. The same with, to some degree, reincarnation and karma. They go, okay, well, that person's in a bad situation.
Turn it into an angry atheist. I was an angry atheist when I was in university, and I used to think that religion was a cop-out because basically you were stuff that you didn't believe in. There was stuff that you didn't know, and instead of saying, wow, there's stuff I don't know, you kind of made up a magic fairyland.
Yeah.
But I've mellowed over my old age.
I'm not hassling religion in general, but I am very wary of any belief system that allows you to say, that person's having a shit time because they deserve it in some way, when there are, in fact, larger causal factors
right.
that place responsibility on a greater society or even us as a human race for how things are going for that person. But somebody who may believe in karma and reincarnation, they say, well, obviously that person deserves it. They're suffering now because of something they did in the past. Somebody else might say, well, they're not visualizing strongly enough having food. food
well,
to eat.
Trying to explain why one person suffers so profoundly, perhaps doesn't even ever get born, or if they do get born, they immediately contract some horrible disease, or if they don't immediately contract some horrible disease, they're malnourished for a few years and then just die.
Ginger.
And other people, if, it's almost impossible for a lot of us in the West to die unless we are smashed really hard by something made of metal.
It would take effort to die in our society, wouldn't it?
You'd actually have to go out of your way to isolate yourself somehow so that no one would find you and then actually, you know.
Because if you got halfway there and failed, they would lock you up and they wouldn't let you kill yourself. No,
they'd put you on suicide watch. They'd try to talk you
out. You know what else?
Political correctness gone mad.
Fill your brain up with chemicals to try and fix.
I saw a fantastic, a new comment on one of my old blog posts about political correctness gone mad.
Yep.
Great comeback to that was someone said, so you're actually okay with political correctness? Just at some point, it's gone too far.
Yeah.
So that's a good comeback. Somebody says political correctness gone mad.
Everything's political correctness gone mad.
Do you know what else magical thinking is bad for?
Mm. Owls.
Really?
You thought I didn't know where you were going, didn't you?
So did you say owls?
Owls.
Owls.
Like ordinary wizarding levels.
Oh my God! You're right on the money. You're right
Holy
on the money.
Shit, am I actually right?
You're exactly right. This is owls, which are popular. Do they call them familiars in Harry Potter? I don't think they do. What do they call them in Harry Potter?
They are familiars.
There's a rat and so on.
Familiars,
they call them familiars.
They don't use the word.
Well, of course,
familiars.
Harry has like a snow owl or something.
Hedwig, yeah, but they don't. They also refer to their degrees, like their class levels.
Owls, O levels, ordinary wizarding. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well. Now, here's a story from AFP, Harry Potter blamed for India's owl crisis. And we've got the Indian Environment Minister, Jairam Ramesh, who is blaming fans of Harry Potter for the...
Is he a New Zealander?
Not a real New Zealander.
No, clearly not.
Who is blaming fans of Harry Potter for the demise of wild owls in the country as children seek to emulate the boy wizard by taking the birds as pets.
Really?
Well, that's what he says. What he doesn't say...
How many owls have gone?
What he doesn't say is that as part of Diwali, can we call them black magic practitioners? Is that is black magic?
I think
is that inappropriate?
Brown, if anything.
That's horrible.
As part of Diwali, they sacrifice owls.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, so this motherfucker is blaming Harry Potter when it's Hindus killing owls for, you know, magical purposes.
Is it like sort of voodoo owls?
How many owls are there? Because there are a lot of Hindus.
Less now than there used to be.
Yeah, clear. Or fewer.
Fewer. Know. God damn it.
Gotcha.
Fuck.
Yeah, like that.
That's
okay,
stupid.
And here is Jairam Ramesh, same guy who was talking about Harry Potter. We will examine the report and take action. It was Harry Potter. No, it was your religion. We need to think about this some more.
Harry Potter is
I'm imagining him twiddling his moustache.
I don't know. I've already signed off on Harry Potter. I've got a lot of paperwork to move on from there. Yeah, we'll look into this.
Harry Potter's to blame
we'll
for a lot of stuff.
We'll get back to you.
Harry Potter's as bad as Dungeons & Dragons and rock music, really.
Little kids
what
with
did
their
rock
vibrating
music
broomsticks.
Vibrating
rock
broomsticks.
Music's evil.
Tell me about these vibrating broomsticks.
You must have heard.
This is from years ago.
This is from years ago that they sold a toy.
Makes me think of boomsticks. Do you have any boomsticks?
No, it is kind of a boomstick.
No,
don't step on this. This is a brilliant story.
No, I like the idea that Ben knew where it was going and was like, we've got to get the fuck off this train right now. Fatty boomsticks.
This is
that'll do.
This is the...
anybody got a boombox?
This is the adolescent girl orgasm train that he's trying to get off. So I don't entirely blame him.
Hey, whoa. I'm not trying to get off.
Vibrating broomsticks.
So there were Harry Potter vibrating broomsticks sold.
This is a true story. There were vibrating Harry Potter broomsticks sold, and they had to be recalled or they were stopped sold because...
Parents wondered why their little girl went quiet, sat by herself with the broom, went into her bedroom, and this happened in case after case after case.
You're embellishing a little bit. They were spending too much time with their brooms.
So how was I embellishing?
She goes quiet...
I am painting the picture. I am imagining
exactly what I'm saying.
I'm imagining what it means to spend too much time with your broomstick.
The door closes. The parents exchange a glance. The father turns back to his newspaper.
She quietly bites
coffee.
Her lip.
She is 16 years or over.
I think she plays.
And not we good. Move on.
Listen, sexuality is something we all have.
Speak for yourself.
Fair enough.
You've got all of it.
Next.
Yeah, what is next?
What is next?
I have no idea.
Now, things that you didn't know before. Now, this is something maybe people are going to go, how the fuck did you not know that? Did you go to school? Brunei, the Sultan of Brunei. I always figured that was somewhere in the Middle East.
I did for a long time too. I thought it was, you know, Oman,
it's
Brunei.
Southeast Asia.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, isn't it?
I had no idea.
He owned half.
It's like in Malaysia.
He owned half of Bahun Bay as well, so
what
we should have known.
What the fuck? I thought it was like next to
Dubai,
somewhere like this.
Brunei, what,
Oman,
Dubai.
Brunei.
Yeah, yeah, Saudi, Brunei.
Yeah. So anyway, the Prince of Brunei's brother, Prince Jeffrey of Brunei,
or Jeff.
Jeff.
Jeff. Or Free.
The fresh, you know. Fresh Jeff of Fresh Prince.
Sorry. Say it again.
Jazzy Jeff in the Fresh Prince.
He's been in a legal dispute.
I'm going to go grab you another drink.
No, I've had enough.
He's been in a legal dispute over $6 million worth of who knows what.
Oh, yeah. It's
and he's currently spent at least $100 million in legal fees of this $6 million dispute.
What?
And this... Listen, it's crazy. It's all just this unbelievably wealthy and completely tasteless royal guy. He had bronze statues made by, oh dear, I don't remember his name, an artist who is reasonably well famed. He had bronze statues of him having sex with various porn stars and other women. God. Painted to look like people.
Lifelike.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy, all the money in the world, sordid, tasteless. I don't really know where I'm going with this. But really it's just about being interested in not knowing where Brunei was. How could I not know that?
That's bizarre.
Everyone knows who the Sultan of Brunei is. I don't know.
Will it make you feel better if I tell you that you just informed me that Brunei is not in the Middle East?
I'm actually pleased about that, and I hope that our listeners experience that same revelation.
I only found that a couple of years ago where Brunei was.
Yeah, I only found that a couple of days ago. Yeah. So whoopee for you.
Well, lardy fucking da.
Well, how did you find out where it was?
I actually looked on Google Maps.
You searched on the internet?
I searched on the internet and it showed
Google Maps? Why, that caused a recent...
You motherfucker! We were being so good! The listeners don't see my excited hand gestures as we realize that we are awesomely segueing.
Oh, I thought I was bringing. I haven't seen the list. I don't know what we're talking about. We need to ban in studio. You have not shared that document, young man.
I apologize.
That's it. No more in studio guests. It's all Skype from now on.
So,
it's fucked it up.
You know who else fucked it up? Nicaragua. Let's seg into that. Off we go.
What's hilarious? You know what's
broken
hilarious?
Morgan.
As I was trying to segue to the internet filter, and you guys have gone and taken it onto Nicaragua.
Would you say we had segued into a more relevant story?
No, because I would say, look.
Listen, motherfucker.
If you were searching for porn statues on the internet,
how has that got anything to do with Nicaragua?
It's got nothing at all to do with Nicaragua.
You make a valid point.
Asshole.
So are we doing Nicaragua or the...
Yes, yes.
Right, fuck.
Now that our segue has been demolished, I thought you were being so good, Ben.
I know you listeners may find it a bit obvious, but now we're going to talk about kittens with fainting goat syndrome.
Now, these kittens, they are tragic figures.
They're both dead.
Everyone's seen the fainting goats.
Yes.
You make a noise.
Apparently Mythbusters recently did fainting goats, and I've yet to watch it.
I heard that Barack Obama has that. if you snap your fingers in his face, he seizes up and falls over.
No one born in America has ever been demonstrated to suffer from that.
So that's
evidence that he's actually a Nigerian.
Kenyan. Have you seen the clip of the guy going around?
I haven't
seen
his birth certificate, so
have
I
you
wouldn't know.
Well, clearly, have you seen the guy going around the rally for sanity and or fear?
Citation needed.
Asking people with a sign that says Obama equals Keynesian, like the like the economist.
Yeah.
And all these people at the rally are coming up and going, what the fuck are you having? What? He's produced the birth certificate, and the guy's got the camera, and he's like, do you think that he's proved that he's not a Keynesian? And these people are like, oh, he's proved time and time again the state of Hawaii has produced the birth certificate. How much more do you need? And he's like, do you think the state of Hawaii has proved that he's not a Keynesian? It just goes through all these people thinking that he's Kenyan. And then it finally gets to this guy who's like, well, we haven't really seen how his economic policies are going to pan out. And, I guess that remains to be seen. And then his wife looks up at the sign and goes, oh, I thought you said Kenyan.
Was it Ken's that that again, coming back to one of my favourite podcasts, Planet Money? I haven't actually read Keynes, but I think he's the one that actually said you need to support your lower and middle classes so that you can have a vibrant economy. And he actually backs. Is it Keynes? Or
it certainly sounds like something. He would
Adam
say.
Smith, one of those two, guys, basically.
Why not Adam Smith? Ayn Rand, why not? Let's just throw some shit out there.
Did Ayn Rand ever go to Nicaragua?
Was that Lindsay Perigo? Is that what's going to be on his TV show?
But no, it was interesting because one of these things where dogmatic people pull out the bits that fit their dogma and ignore all the rest of it that is actually sane and intelligent.
Yeah, well, so Nicaragua. People tend to do that with Adam Smith as well.
Thank you for so gracefully bringing it back to Nicaragua.
You know who else has an economy? Nicaragua.
They also have apparently insufficient maps, but access to the internet, including in their military. So Nicaragua. Now it's been described as raiding Costa Rica, and they blame Google Maps because now if you look at Google Maps and you compare it side by side with Bing, I'll put this in the show notes.
Yeah.
The border is in a different place.
Really?
It's in a completely different place. So following this map, I mean, he thought he was in Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. This Nicaraguan military commander who was relying on Google Maps moved troops into an area near San Juan Lake along the border between his country and Costa Rica. The troops are accused of setting up camp, taking down a Costa Rican flag, and raising a Nicaraguan flag. They then did work to clean up a nearby river and dumping the sediment in Costa Rican.
Well, the Costa Ricans should be happy territory. That they cleaned up the river for them.
Well, they did clean up the river, but they dumped the sediment that they cleaned up from the river into Costa Rica.
I have a mental image of the commander of this troop of guys going through a jungle with like an iPhone.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like looking down and he's like, oh, you're still in the country? Yeah, no, we're still in the country. It's fine. We're fucking meters to go yet. This is... Another guy's got another iPhone. Maybe he's got a Windows phone. We don't know.
With Bing Maps.
And he's like... I don't know. I don't think we're still in Nicaragua.
We're not in Nicaragua anymore.
Shut up. Check the iPhone, motherfucker. I got a Chinese massage today. You ever been down to downtown? Got a massage?
I've had one from Atrium.
Happy ending.
I went down. I got a massage. He's still laughing. He's gone. I'm just going to tell Ben. I went down. I don't know if you ever have this. You know when women have babies. You know,
Yes.
You know how they have babies.
Yes.
Apparently their brains get flooded with hormones that make them forget about the pain that they've just gone through, so that they're totally eager to do it again.
Yeah. Apparently, yes.
That's what's happened to my brain every time I've had one of these fucking massages.
Chinese massages.
Right, I go
they
down
destroy
there.
Destroy your back and shoulders.
Oh, 15 minutes for neck and shoulders.
That's only right? $10. Yeah.
$15 for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's cool. I've got that in my pocket and that seems like a really good idea. And then I sit down and it's like Vulcan neck grips, fucking pressure points, bringing up bad memories from my childhood. And as I cringe, and I assume it's a cultural difference, but apparently means awesome, do that harder. I get to the end of it, and I'm like, oh God, I'm in so much pain. And then by the time I've walked from the massage table around to where you pay,
jelly.
I'm like, here's $15, and I can't wait to come back and do that again. And I have the same thing with watching episodes of Heroes.
Maybe from the first season.
After the first season, I will watch any damn episode and I will bite my knuckles through this appalling, poorly written piece of shit. And then I get to the end of it after telling Diana all the way, God, this is awful. Why am I watching this? This is awful. And I get to the end. I'm like, man, I can't wait till the next episode.
I can wait.
Never going to happen.
I'm happy to hold my breath.
Cancelled.
I mean, not hold my breath. I won't hold my breath.
I reckon. I tell you what.
I'm happy to hold my breath.
Hold your breath until the episode.
You know what else I'm happy about? Blue. I'm happy about having, you know, having a guest means that I can leave the purpose-built studio, go into the purpose-built toilet, and have a purpose-built piss at any time, and no one even notices that I'm gone. Except
and
that slightly
and
less...
Ben Morgan doesn't know what we did while he was
no,
gone.
No, he doesn't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I sat back down in the seat, and I can smell something. I can smell something.
Should be feeling something with that seat.
Yeah. Is that asparagus? Can anyone else smell burning hair?
A lot of editing. A lot of editing tonight.
Yeah, well, we're already at 86 minutes.
Do you know that Heroes is probably post episode one, post series one copies of Heroes are probably so bad they'd sell for a dollar on Trade Me?
It wouldn't surprise me. It just went so badly downhill. They had so much promise, such a good first season, and they just fucked it up.
I say somewhere between $1 and $3.
Because the reason they fucked it up is because they probably got given many more seasons. And again, you know, it's a premise that kind of finished itself out in one season.
No,
absolutely not.
There was plenty they could have done.
So much territory.
All they did instead was replay the same characters over and over, switch roles around. Oh, now Sila's good. Now he's your brother. Now he's not. They brought in midichlorians, yeah, essentially.
I think that in order to enjoy Heroes, you'd have to be some kind of emotionless robot.
Did you know that?
An emotionless robot that purchases items for $1 on DraftMe.
That's a very specific
kind of robot.
You know how the mutant
he won't leave us. He won't
this motherfucker doesn't recognize a segue when he sees one because he hasn't read the doc.
Dollar copies of
fuck your natural flow of conversation. I want to talk about something completely different and less interesting.
I was going to talk about a mutant who's had secret shark jumping powers.
Does he have a leather jacket? Does he have greased hair? Does he go? Ay.
He can also turn jukeboxes on by hitting them. Just like that.
Hey.
All right, so what are we talking about?
Dollar copies of Heroes on Trade Me. There is
was that this? God, it's been minutes since you brought that up.
Yes.
Yeah, I was trying to bring it back.
There you should share that doc with me.
The thing is, I don't...
Worst episode ever.
I don't remember any... I struggle to remember XKCD comics as much as they're hilariously amusing, a lot of them. I think the main one I remember was the... The one that traced storylines?
Mm. Yeah, that was
incredible.
Impressive.
Incredible attention to detail. Anyway, Trade Me recently released an API that allows you to place bids and watch auctions and this sort of stuff on it. And a guy saw the API and then he suddenly remembered a XKCD comic, in fact, XKCD 576, which is an amusing comic about a guy that
Is that a George Lucas movie?
576.
Is that actually the number of XKCD? Is that... Has there been that many XKCDs?
It's up to about 800 now.
Good God.
About a guy that basically wrote a bot that bought $1 items off eBay every day. He gave it $365 and let it buy things. And the comic's amusing. But this guy's actually implemented it for reals against Trade
Me. Reals?
For reals.
For reals.
And it'll buy a dollar item every day and it will tweet about it. And if it can't find the dollar item, it will save its money.
Yep.
Tell me the detail.
It'll save up until it has up to $3.
Yes,
And then it will try to spend at least half of that.
So you can follow it. It's actually TradeMe_XKCD576 on Twitter. And just 14 minutes ago, in fact, it says bought USB extension cable for $2. And
I actually find it a bit hard to believe that it bought that because some of the criteria were that the things that it purchased, as well as being between $1 and $3, it also had to be quite an uncommon item. It tries to find other auctions of the same name for the same good, and if there are a lot, then it will try not to purchase.
How would the bot?
It's bought it. MetaTradeMe bot has bought
I'm not saying that's not correct. I'm saying that means it's not really following the rules that were meant to be set.
Well,
for
how
it.
Many USB extension cables are there on TradeMe
probably,
right now?
Probably 11,000.
If you program it to follow these rules of yours. I think we're facing Skynet.
Philosopher.
There are a lot of male to female extensions on Trade Me.
Does anyone else wonder? I mean, wouldn't it be quite interesting to find out what it is actually like to be fucked? Like to have a vagina and to be fucked?
You've clearly been reading too many culture novels.
No.
Where you can sex change whenever you
feel
like
it. Yeah, you
can
sex change just by thinking
about
it.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that wasn't actually what I was thinking about, though.
Really? You're just thinking about being fucked.
Yeah, just thinking about being fucked.
Me and Ben are like, oh, that's an interesting sci-fi question. You're like, being fucked.
Well, maybe this is why Stephen Fry was such a cock, because he hasn't ever actually thought about it that way.
Poor old Stephen Fry.
Interesting you say that.
No, because, I mean... But
am I helping now?
Now he's a fucking Segway champion all of a sudden.
I like Stephen Fry. Let's talk about him.
But no, deadly serious.
I've heard that he's been misquoted.
Deadly serious, because you're right in that if you are having sex with a woman, surely you occasionally have a empathetic streak and think, how's she going? But whereas Stephen Fry would say, no, they can't enjoy it at all.
When I think about my woman and wonder how she's going, I think that she's probably having a great deal of fun somewhere that isn't anywhere near me.
Well, like right now.
Yeah, right now. Well, right now she's actually probably asleep. She's away on a course.
Cool.
On Great Barrier Island.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Jeez.
They were like rock climbing and
team building,
swimming stuff and some kind of team building.
We just drink at our work.
They're not actually, I don't think they're actually a team, so I'm not clear on why they're doing team building. I think it's because some large corporations have a little bit too much money.
Possibly.
Anyway, so last week we spoke about Stephen Fry, and now I think we were quite careful to couch what we said. And we did say that he had disputed that he'd said it, and he said that he had been misquoted. And instead of really just talking about what he allegedly said, which was that women don't enjoy sex as like men do, men think that women think men are disgusting, and women only have sex with men in order to have relationships, and that's the price that they pay.
Sorry, men think women think men are disgusting?
Yes.
Okay.
So men can't believe that women want to have sex with men.
That's interesting.
Hmm.
It is interesting.
A half a million years of evolution kind of goes against it.
So he's
written up a gigantic, typically long blog post explaining exactly what happened.
I better use words and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, so many words. And like over 4 pages on his blog.
I think he used shit.
His gay ass blog.
Didn't we just say that's a horrible word?
He's so overly verbose. He just bangs on.
So he's overly verbose, but the crux of it comes down to he had apparently a giggly, off-the-cuff conversation with a journalist from a gay newspaper and didn't for one moment think that would become a newspaper story in itself. Which,
wow, he's got no respect for gay newspapers.
And also given how he sets up the post by saying, I never give interviews to newspapers because they never publish what I say.
I suppose the keenest disappointment I feel about the past week and the almost incredible weirdnesses it has brought in its train is the idea that there are people out there who actually swallow the notion that I am so stupid as to believe that women don't enjoy sex. That I not only believe it, but I am dense, dotty, and suicidally deluded enough to make a public declaration of such a crazed belief.
Hmm.
You would have to be a bit stupid to think that Stephen Fry actually thinks... I mean, my first thought is, well, they've taken that out of context or they've misquoted him somehow.
Yeah.
He's not stupid. He's demonstrably not stupid.
No.
Well, that's right. And which is why I thought that if it wasn't a misquote, and we thought that it probably was, then maybe it was related somehow to his mental illness.
Still,
though I couldn't really see how it could be.
If he had brought
related.
It up on QI, I'd just believe it.
Like that talk about having two fucking moons?
What's the interesting thing about women and sex? And then, you know...
They hate it.
Ellen Davis goes, they hate it. Hey, he's right.
Well
spotted. That's good. 10 points. And I'll be like, fuck, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Anyway, I actually thought that the more interesting part of that story in some ways, as well as having the opportunity to speak to Rachel Goodchild about lesbian bear death and pegging and so on.
I don't think you satisfactorily explained lesbian bear death to me.
Listen to the previous episode.
Yeah, it's all explained. It's all good.
Our fucking senior philosophy correspondent can't even be bothered listening to the show. What chance have we got?
It's like 96.
I'm counting on this thing to buy me a goddamn house. This needs to make me a lot of money, and that requires a lot of listeners. And this is something that came up in the comments on the previous post. There's only a few comments there. But that it's kind of interesting to think about, I mean, whether or not the quote was accurate. And it sounds to me like Stephen Fry says it was actually an accurate quote, but that he was kidding.
Yeah, it was off the cuff conversation, yeah.
But the more interesting part in some ways is that he is such a fucking girl that every time anything he doesn't like happens, He spits the dummy, tosses all of his toys out of the sandpit, and runs away crying from Twitter. Bye bye, I'm out of here. Fuck you guys, I'm going home. And he definitely did that in this case.
A TV show.
In his defense, he's still a human being.
Yes.
And it sucks to be hassled by a huge number of people for something.
And that's what he says. He actually says that you don't understand how many messages he gets from people trying to be helpful and trying to be friendly, pointing at endless fucking articles talking about him. He says in this blog post explaining the whole thing that I'll put in the show notes that he has actively avoided reading any British newspapers for over 10 years.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, me as well, but I like the Guardian website. Yeah.
Passively. Yeah.
And he also reads some articles on, and he name drops the Guardian website.
Don't point at me and then say Stephen Fry name drops and then don't say me, because that my heart skips a beat.
You'd have more followers.
Sure, fucking more than 97.
Can I would like to see if we can do something. Now on This Week in Tech, every now and then Leo Laporte will have the Twit Army follow. he'll have them follow Dvorak and he'll get him like an extra 3,000 viewers. We get Ryan?
Three
followers.
I was going to say
he's one of the smartest people I've ever met.
Well, I don't know my armies very well.
He's
what's
charming.
A platoon or a
six?
Yeah, so we've got the discourse platoon. Not the discourse army.
No, we've got the discourse skirmishing team, which is mainly us.
Or the discourse Rambo.
Are you at Ryan Sproul?
I am at Ryan Sproul.
RyanSproull. Ryan Sproul on Twitter. Yeah. Follow him. Get him over 100. And next episode, I will...
That's all four of you. Yeah. In case a couple of the current followers stop following, which happens all the fucking time.
Please follow Ryan Sproul. It's not because we're needy.
Did I say that right? Jedetic?
Jedetic? Yes, Jedetic. A little boy waits.
Look at him. If you found him on your doorstep, wouldn't you... Follow him on Twitter. Take him in. Feed him. Follow him on Twitter.
Follow Ryan on Twitter. It's in the show notes.
Is it?
Maybe buy him a pet.
I probably won't put it in the show notes.
No. That's crazy. Ryan Sproul.
God, honestly, those fucking show notes.
Does anyone read the show notes?
The show notes are awesome. I really enjoy... Maybe other people don't, but I think they're awesome.
I get really... really strongly positive feedback about the show notes.
Yeah.
But I think that is it a large number or a small number? I think that there's about 60 people who actually read the show notes.
But that pales
by the size of subscribership that we have to the podcast of at least 60.
What I notice is...
it's a one-to-one ratio. Yeah. I don't know what that
means. That's a great disparity.
But I'll tell you something, I'm not a statistician.
The cool thing is the show notes show up in iTunes on your iPod, so you can scroll through and read all of those show notes.
You're teaching me all kinds of things about iTunes.
The links
iTunes.
Don't work. Yeah, yeah. Stanza.
What do you mean the links don't work? Oh, because you can't click them on your iPod because you're on a fucking iPod.
Well, even on the iPod.
It won't open them in Safari or something?
No, they don't. They're just.
I bet that would work in Windows 7.
It's the same format. It's the same...
I bet that would work on Android.
...thing that does lyrics, so... So it's just
see.
It's just like a lyrics list. So there's no links in there.
So you can sort of, it kind of keeps you up with what's happening in the story, but you can't really link to it. Well, and if you look at the show notes on the previous episode, you'll actually see videos and a photo gallery.
There's all sorts of fun stuff in there.
All sorts of great stuff. Anyway, talking...
I saw the chick on LSD.
Oh, the chick on LSD is wonderful. And that looked like it was probably from the 60s.
Oh,
sexual
the
revolution.
Chick.
Ben, don't ruin this for me, you motherfucker. Shut up. That probably looked like it was as part of the sexual revolution, which is which really was followed on from the invention of the female contraceptive pill.
Are you hoping that she's your mother?
No, see, I thought you
she's
guys
not,
were saying
she's not my mother.
Chicken LSD. And
oh.
I was trying to work out where the video of the chicken was.
Okay,
but you talked about the sexual freedom revolution and the contraceptive pill.
The contraceptive pill. Now, this is fascinating because for several years now, women have been. Some women have been worried about the possibility of deep vein thrombosis clots being caused by the contraceptive pill.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's true. It is actually true. But that's because a lot of women are on the wrong contraceptive pills. And there is a British study which reveals the safer pills, and women should bloody get on them because many women are not on the safest pills.
So this is global, not something that's best for the particular woman. Woman, you're saying that there are pills that suck and pills that are good, regardless of who you are.
Or is
that's
it...
right?
Okay,
that's completely right. Okay. Now, but. More, even an even better story than the fact that women can change to certain pills, and there's certain ingredients that are safer. I'm not going to tell you what they are because I've just left that article. But more
you'll
recently,
never know.
You'll never know. Whatever you do, don't look at the show notes. It's not like I'll put them in there. But there's a more recent study which actually, and this is of 46,000 women, published in the British Medical Journal. Women taking the pill live longer than women who don't take the pill.
That's interesting.
And this is from all causes of death. Women on the pill live longer. Don't worry
about
the
clots. But how many people in like war-torn Congo are on the pill?
Not enough.
Have you heard about fraping?
But I'm not finished.
Oh, no. God. That's here we all go.
Friend rape. Is this
Bill
some
McGee
kind of friend
here.
Raping?
It's Facebook raping, apparently. We need a better word for logging onto somebody's machine and they've left their Facebook open. And
that's not raping. They're all right. That's not,
no, that's not
that,
raping.
Like, people are calling that fraping, and that needs to stop.
Yeah.
It's just a prank.
Yeah.
Now, another story about
face jacking
women. Which is way funnier. Now this is another story about the female contraceptive pill.
Yes.
And this is fascinating because taking a contraceptive pill, now a lot of women will already say that it has emotional side effects, but one of them is that it can lead to women choosing the wrong partner because their sense of smell is confused.
Interesting.
Now,
totally true.
Women are naturally attractive to men with an immune system, with genes that are different from their own.
Yep.
So yeah, it's true.
That's why I'm so attractive.
Because
you,
by passing on
you've had
a more wide ranging set of immune system genes, they increase the chances of having a healthy child. But by starting relationships with men while they're on the pill, and then going off the pill, not only do they then realize that they're with someone that they don't like, but they're also more likely to have a miscarriage with that man once off the pill and able to conceive.
That's interesting. So you do what I do and meet someone at 15 when they're not on the pill. Or
yeah, that's right. Well,
what was
seriously?
This a couple of weeks ago?
I mean, when I was 15, my girlfriends were on the pill. Thank fucking God.
Sorry, Ben, was this last week?
No, it was a long time ago. But no, but the life extension thing, the living longer thing, I wonder if that's vaguely related to calorific restriction, which in turn stops periods because your body goes into a fasting mode and says we need to sort this shit out, which will in turn extends life. Mm. I mean, it doesn't explain how it works in men. Well, men also become sterile from calorific restriction.
Really?
Temporarily. But so the whole
I don't
thing,
know where you're getting at, so I hope this is a really good segue.
Well, in terms of, it's not a segue at all. It's just saying that women live longer on the pill. I'm wondering if it's because they have less periods.
It's interesting because...
Only if they skip.
Calorie-restricted diets do, at least in rats, prolong life.
It's the one major
70%.
Proven. Yeah, a surprising degree.
Yeah.
There was a fantastic... I think it was a New York Times
But it's
journalist.
A miserable fucking life of hunger.
Absolutely.
Well, this is the thing. This New York Times journalist, and I'm going to say New York Times, it may not be, spent a month.
Corrections.
Just bleep it out in post. Spent a month living on a calorie-restricted diet.
That's not going to extend your life.
The point was not to extend his
life. There are
life.
Communities of people who live this way.
Yeah, it was to find out what it was like to live this way, and he ended up having this kind of final day dinner with the kind of guru of this movement. And
Aubrey de Grey, he doesn't do calorie restriction, does he?
No, there's a point where he the guy picks something up, and the journalist looks at his hands, and something isn't quite right, and he realizes that the guy's skin is orange, and the guru looks at his, sees them. He's noticed his skin. And he says, "Yeah, well, I have so much beta carotene. I eat so many carrots as part of my calorie restricted diet that it started to come out in my skin, and my skin has gone orange." Right. And then the girl who is the wife of this guru, who met him through finding out about the diet, and then talking to him, and then falling in love with him, and then marrying him, keeps on going, "Isn't he pretty? isn't his, I call him my orange beauty or something like that. She keeps on saying over and
just
over.
Carry, blast straight
isn't
through.
He pretty?
Isn't just it pretty? Isn't it pretty? Just ignore him. Isn't it pretty? And this guy, this journalist, after 30 days of starving himself, has this kind of moment of sort of vertigo of being terrified by how insistent this woman is that orange skin is pretty. And he has this vision of the future, which in his words, where everybody has the skin tone of an Oompa Loompa and the body mass index of an Olsen twin, but they live to 150 years old. And then he just sort of brings himself back to Earth and finishes the dinner. And then he walks out and he's like, well, my month's over. And he goes to McDonald's and has a massive fucking Big Mac. And he's like, I'm done with that. But this is the same journalist who spent a year living off online poker. He's quite a cool guy who gets really immersed in what he's doing.
What's the guy?
Show notes.
It's not
I've already told you he's a journalist for New York Times or something. So I think that narrows it
down. It's all I need to hear.
Yeah.
I'm credulous.
It was on Metal Filter that one time. So
Metal Filter.
Metal Filter.
Metal Filter.
Metal Filter.
Everything's on Metal Filter. If you bought a small baby pig, right?
What do you mean, if?
Bacon. The thing is that if you are buying a small baby pig, you need to make sure that it is actually a micro pig.
Cunny, cunny.
Not just a small pig.
Right, yeah.
Because apparently micro pigs are all
I don't
the
know
rage.
What you're talking about, micro pig.
Apparently they're all the rage. Apparently Paris Hilton has a micro pig. And what they are
that's
is...
That's Nicole Richie. She's one of the co-hosts.
It's not very nice to call her a pig.
But no, apparently they are small dwarf pigs that people like to keep as pets.
She's
like...
very confused about what a truffle is.
I guess in the same vein
as... that sex tape. And she's digging around in there.
Have you actually seen that sex tape?
37 minutes, yes. Oh, Nicole Richie? No, but if you're talking about Paris Hilton,
no,
yes.
Paris Hilton.
And that bit where she's like trying on her undies and like flattening out her belly, and that is hot.
That's going a bit far. I haven't actually seen it.
And her boyfriend is like, gross.
I haven't seen it, but I have heard from a friend who saw the DVD of it that the boyfriend like hosts the DVD.
And I haven't seen that.
Apparently he's like...
Narrates it.
Yeah, it's called One Night in Paris a start.
And his
name
is
also Paris.
No, he
doesn't narrate,
Paris.
Like, he doesn't give, like, sports commentary throughout, but he does
now
introduce it.
She has
and
taken
he's like,
the head into her mouth.
And he goes, Perry, how'd I get to be so lucky?
Oh, God.
And that's his introduction to the him-produced DVD of this poor girl who had her fucking video taken.
Poor girl.
Yeah, poor girl.
Poor girl.
It worked out pretty well for her.
Had anyone even heard of her before that video?
No.
No.
That's true.
She has no one.
Perfect.
She was just some rich little...
But heiress. She does have a micro pig, which apparently is, you know, in the same vein as a toy poodle or other stupid small dogs.
Is that a micro pig on the screen right there? Because that's enormous.
It's enormous pig. This woman, who you're seeing on your screen...
Spoilers!
...thought she was buying a micro pig. Someone duped her and sold her.
And said, a pig that just kept on growing.
Said, here's a small baby micro pig and it's £5,000 or whatever the hell it costs there.
That's not a micro pig. That's a pig.
It is. So
they're probably too attached to kill it and eat it now as well.
Yeah, but I bet they still eat bacon.
Yeah.
Without any kind of dissonance.
So those are micro pigs.
No sense of conflict.
So the point is, if you're buying a small baby pig and you think it's a micro pig, you might want to be careful because apparently it's endemic. Epidemic.
Any discourse listeners who are buying micro pigs?
There are no discourse listeners. We've already gone over.
Send in a photo.
Yeah, the Smithsonian.
Prove that you exist.
The Smiths soon learned they were not the only ones with a hog that had outgrown their expectations. Margaret has now set up her own Facebook group called the
Start a Group.
Called The Truth About Mini Pigs, which has attracted 271 members swapping pig horror stories.
Don't make fun of that number of members. Ryan has only about a third of that number of followers on Twitter. We need to do something about it. That's where we're going to be with you for the next 24 hours in our telethon.
And 66 of those followers. People don't even like me.
Should we check the latest count?
Given that this is not a live show...
But you said it's a telethon. It's a 24-hour telethon.
Yeah, but we haven't quite understood the concept of a telethon.
The SIS is signing up.
I'm gonna paint my belly with a face and start doing whistling in a minute.
Wasn't that part of the plan? Isn't that in the list? Show me the list again.
It's in the show notes.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, good news.
Yes?
There's another Urban Dictionary word of the week.
Woo! Can you recall that news that is the sting from now on?
You make no promises. I'm going to play the Urban Dictionary Word of the Week sting now.
Okay.
Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
The word, now this is not for our guests, this is for our senior philosophy correspondent Ryan Sproul and co-host TV's Internet. Hollywood.
TV's Internet. TV's Internet.
TV's Internet. Ben Gracewood. Hollywood. Ben Gracewood. Standing by. Are you ready for your word?
I'm ready.
You look ready. Your word is quabbing a twab.
Quabbing a twab. Quabbing a twab.
Sorry, so we've had quabbing a quick, quabbing a chema.
Yep.
Quabbing a twab.
Quabbing a chema. And now we've got quabbing a twab.
I'm going to go straight there and say it is some idiotic child who's written two similar definitions with stupid descriptions on them.
This All was right. written over 4 years earlier by user The Shock. 757 upvotes.
Okay, that's different.
383 downvotes.
I propose to you, sir, that a girl and a boy are practicing judo when a series of sexual misfortunes occur. And then the teacher gets involved to great hilarity, and the whole thing resolves itself.
Is that your final answer? Would you like to lock that in, senior philosophy correspondent Ryan Sproul?
No, isn't it when you're on a
Hollywood Ben Gracewood.
4 years earlier, quabbing a twab.
Quabbing a twab.
Don't rationalise it. Look at you. 4 years. What was going on then? What was 9/11?
And I actually think that based on what the definition is, it's probably quibbing. It's definitely not written quibbing. Quibbing. And I'm going to give you a big hint here. Quibbing, as in Quebec.
Oh.
But I don't know that it's got anything to do with Quebec. But quibbing as in something in Canada.
Hey, Ben. French.
I'm lost.
It's when you're playing ice hockey and while drinking beer.
No.
And it's icy.
Maybe.
Drinking a lot of beer,
Yeah.
And
it's cold, and it's A.
Yes.
I'm out of...
Yeah, Canadian stereotypes.
Canadian stereotypes. There's a moose.
Close.
And Jim Carrey comes in.
No.
He's just chilling out.
No.
And he's drenched in maple syrup.
No. Did you actually...
Maple syrup, of course.
No. When you're having sex with a seal...
Oh, of course. Hang on, don't go any further. I think I know the rest. Ben, would you like to take it from here?
When you're having sex with a seal.
That's you, Ben.
And the seal poops out a baby seal. So you hit it with a shovel. Then you hit the mother in the head with a shovel for being such a dumb seal. You hit the mother in the head with a shovel for being such a dumb seal and continue to bone her. After you're done, you poop on her.
The Susan Boyle seal.
757 people voted in favour of this definition.
What's the connection to quabbing a chema? Why?
Quabbing is the connection.
Why?
The connection is discourse. We're all about bringing things together.
You know what? That's quite discursive of you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
What's his name?
John LaJoy.
He's actually Canadian.
Right. Good segue.
So now he definitely won't let us continue using his music. I shamelessly ripped off his music. In episode zero, the original version started with me playing one of his very popular YouTube videos, in which he
stupidly,
satirically, ironically takes off
gangster rap,
misogynistic gangster rap, and he shines.
I like that guy. Yeah,
he's a great guy, very funny. So I originally just played that as the opening of the show.
We were just
show.
Mucking about, and you played it, and we started talking, and it sounded quite amusing.
It sounded amusing, and then we got some feedback from our alpha test listeners, and they said, you know what? It kind of turned me off.
Even,
so I edited
comedy
it.
Comedy misogyny is terrible. Yeah.
I cut it back just to all year.
We're fucked
then,
for this show, aren't we?
And then I built a bit of a loop from part of it. And then we've used that in every episode since. And without seeking or being granted any permission for ripping off that
music.
We
might be fined $68,000 as an infringement.
I would really like not to be fined even $1 per infringement. Yeah. But though, if it was a choice between $68,000 and $1, I'll take the $1 infringement. Mm.
If it was $1, you could put it on Trade Me, and
a robot would buy it.
Yep, that's just a good segue into our next... Oh, we've done that.
Okay. No, we've done that. But I appreciate the thought. So anyway, I've contacted him and asked him for permission to use the music. If he doesn't give it, then I'll probably have to go back and edit the previous episodes. And
does he have something against tech podcasts?
It's a comedy podcast.
Comedy podcast.
It's a tech podcast.
Ah, okay, that's fine.
He's probably got something against comedy being a comedian.
And we'll clearly have to stop using it in the future, but maybe we can convince someone to make us some music. But hopefully it won't come to that. Hopefully he will say, yeah, use it. What do I care? I ripped it off myself. What are the odds?
I don't know where he gets the loop from.
But anyway, we'll put a reference to his website and some of his videos in the show notes. He's funny. He's good. So have you got any new projects, Ben?
No, I don't.
Do we have any apologies or corrections from last week? I think there must be a correction.
It's surely an apology.
The Stephen Fry thing is sort of a correction slash, you know, I think everyone knew what we were doing. Everyone knew what we were talking about. There must be a correction. I would like to apologise in advance of next week's episode for the quabbing words. Thanks for listening to the show. Check the site for the show notes.
And if you have comments or feedback, the email address is comments@discourse.co.nz, or there's a feedback page on the website.
An MP3 file would be great. Record yourself, record your comments. Try and keep it snappy. Try and keep it under 30 seconds if you can. Because as you will have noticed from this episode, we're like
very time conscious.
And we've discarded all those long comments people have ever emailed in, all those big long MP3 files. We just throw them out.
Yeah. We get a lot of big MP3 files. Yeah. I'm sick of getting all those big MP3 files.
Keep it short.
I want some little ones so that we can actually use them.
And don't forget, if you look at the time right now, you'll notice that the last two numbers are 2-3.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Weekly Show on With Course.
Right, we're using that one.